Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Hello and welcome to the morning show, the morning meeting. My name is Jimmy, his name is Maddie, and today we're discussing the company. Chair's too low, mic's too high. Bobby sit here last or something?
Look how big this is.
Bobby probably sat here last. How is everyone doing out there? Welcome to the show. I got my ball. This ball is awesome. My favorite ball. If I lose it, I will need another one. Kyle tried to steal it from me. James tried to steal it from me. I haven't lost it in a while. How are you doing, Maddie?
Good. That looks like that Pirates ball that we had for a while.
It's like a racket ball.
Yeah.
It's a Yankees team. I bought it at spring training. Just the perfect ball if you just like need to bounce it around.
Eh, pretty good ball handling.
Yep, thank you.
Better than Embiid.
Ah, ha, ha, ha. Did the Knicks win?
No, Joe's bought a jersey, jinxed the whole playoff run.
Damn.
We're off-centered. You keep going and I'll fix it.
We're off-centered, so I'm going to keep going, and Maddie's going to fix it. Thank you for tuning into the show. You guys are our people. You want to know more. You're with us. You like the behind-the-scenes of it. Whatever it is that brought you here, we appreciate it. Factor is the main sponsor of the episode today. We have some updates here on the Shorts Incentive Program. Floorball planning started. We've got a ton of questions from the last YouTube comment section. So if you want to ask a question in the future, please leave a comment. That helps us a bunch. And it's kind of what this show is. It's a way to chat with everyone that helps us do what we're doing and helps us get to where we've gotten. So we understand the value in the community that tunes into this show and want to make sure we hear you and understand your thoughts and what you're interested in. So that's it. Are we centered?
We're centered. How about that mic?
Yeah, it's firm.
Mike fixed it.
Mike
DeLeon.
DeLeon came in and fixed it. Hell yeah. You know, I wore this outfit today because last time I wore this outfit, and someone maybe should film when Zoe walks in and sees me. Hold on, I'll take this sweatshirt off and I'll let you know.
Shirt underneath. It's more about the shirt underneath. So I wore this outfit with these shorts and this shirt last week. And Zoe said, I like that outfit.
Okay.
And then he said, if you wore a white hat with that, it would slap.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So I wore a white hat with it today.
That's
and
funny.
And I just want to walk around by Zoe. Fuck. Are they in today?
Yeah.
Yes. And see if he says anything.
All right. I like it. I mean, when I came in today, the first thing I noticed is that you were wearing a white hat.
So. Yeah. I've worn it a couple times, but it's just been in the bottom of my closet. So I'm very much, I find a hat, I wear it.
Sure.
And then I don't really rotate them. But following Zoe's advice, we'll see. If he doesn't say anything today, he's out. I hate him. No one say shit. Rob.
It is funny. He listens to this show on the way home.
Yeah.
So
if he fails.
Yeah, and he'll immediately know.
Yeah. Okay.
One quick thing right off the top. We are filming Floorball. June 20th and to the 23rd, we're looking for a medic volunteer to be in the warehouse in case anything goes awry.
Our medic's not available?
No.
Bummer.
Yeah. But we need a new friend.
Yeah, twisted ankles, that might happen, banged knees, hamstrings. If you're just someone who can deal with that.
Yes.
Dehydration, you need to be able to cite that out.
Yeah, we will
drink water.
I'll leave an email in the description. You want to be the medic?
No. If it's not drink water, I should shut up. I'm not a medic. Medic.
I'll leave an email in the description if that fits you as a person.
Your favorite medic?
3, 2, 1.
Eugene.
My
Rowe.
Mom.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. So that's out there. And if you're a woman, a girl, a female, and you want to play, Sam thinks she's good, but we're still booking those spots.
Yeah, you could also email the email that I put in the description.
We posted that out, but not a lot of people responded. In past years, we post out like we want players, and we get a ton of responses. Even when it was like we need women hockey players. But we do need you to be good. Like Forgotten Rotten, they will get the best woman player. And so that player needs to carry them.
We're looking for, regardless of gender, medic.
Yeah.
And female floorball players or that are like
hockey players. D1. Or hockey players, field hockey players.
Yeah.
Floorball players.
Pros. D1, D2,
yeah,
you know.
Good. Yeah.
All right.
Not better than me because I want to beat them.
Next.
Chelsea's better than me. Well, we didn't beat them. Okay. I thought it through. Next up.
Yeah.
Shorts incentive program update.
Yeah. I wanted to give a little update here just because we are learning more. And then we also ran just some numbers recently. The overall growth that we've seen on shorts and kind of how the whole program has worked out. Have you got that sheet pulled up?
I can pull it up. Also, just for people that might tuning in for the first time, the shorts incentive program that we started was all our editors, a lot of creators are being tasked with creating one or two a week tackling certain platforms or certain channels to try and like figure out what works on this, what doesn't, and then we'll like divert everyone in a new way. So right now it's just kind of like beta testing. So we have a bunch of different creatives, a bunch of different minds figuring it out and then seeing what works, what doesn't. We were really bad at this last year and we missed the pivot. Like in my point, last year was when we should have done this because that was when the whole algorithm and industry switched to this and we were a year behind. And in the past we've been good at pivoting and we missed it. So we're trying to make up lost ground here because it's the only way to get subscribers on YouTube right now is to, short form or like a super viral video. But if your main videos aren't getting millions of views or like, above 750,000, you're not going to see it, but it's easier to get a short to get a million views than a long video.
I agree.
So we've been rolling out the incentive program. There also is bonuses for reaching plateaus. And when you reach different milestones, we're paying out percentages of the AdSense that video does and stuff like that. So shorts update V1. No, that's not it. I have a lot of Google Sheets.
Shorts update V1. That is it.
That is it.
The tab called Maddie Summary.
That is it. JM Baseball was a channel that was awful at shorts last year. We posted, I don't know how many, is it on here? We posted like...
No, that's on a different thing. It's like posted, 500.
Yeah, it was like 500 shorts that we posted and we averaged 17,000 views on those shorts. And a lot of it is you're making a video to promote podcasts that you put out on Twitter and Instagram, which is needed. That's what those platforms are good for. And then we have the clip. So we're like, well, let's just put it as a YouTube short too. We already have it. And then they never like did anything or took off. So 558 shorts posted last year for an average of 17,000 views per.
Yeah. And once we started this program, we've now made 38 JM Baseball shorts that have gone out already. And those are averaging 31, almost 32,000. So... Yeah.
And that's only 3 weeks into this. It takes a while for like, you're not just going to go from 70,000 to 500,000.
No.
But it's just good signs. And over the course of that, figuring out what the channel likes, what the algorithm likes, and what like is the easier edit. Because this should be very easy edits.
Yeah. And what those type of numbers are consistent across JM Baseball, Talking Yanks, and JM Entertainment. JM Entertainment, the numbers are a little... cooked even higher percentages of growth there just because the base was lower than what JM Baseball's base was. But yeah, more growth over basically 100% gained growth in subscribers over the time period that we've been trying this. and probably averaging out to about that 85-ish percent of average view growth as well. So it's definitely the start of a process.
Yeah, good returns early on. It's very early because once it's going to get like, dude, YouTube is like you have to post the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah. So once you find the formula that works, it's almost, okay, that needs to be 80% of them now and hammer that. How many have we had that have gotten over, is that on the table data?
Yeah.
Over 50K, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
And one over 200K, which was Ryan's, which was naming MLB players with two first names, where I got jobbed. And it's just why that did good, because it got so many comments saying that Corbin Carroll is two first names. True. I'm right.
True.
Jolly and Sam wrong. And then Ryan tried to just, did he do that? Is that out yet?
No, it's not out.
He
Version he, two, same thing.
He filmed the same exact thing.
Yeah,
like good. Jolly came up to me again and said it, and I said, I didn't even know we were doing it. Jolly came up and said, name one, and I just was being stubborn, so I said Corbin Carroll. Jolly's like, oh, nice.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Which I love that. Does it just work again? Like, I like Ryan testing the brain there, testing that. Hey, this is working. Let's just run it again, because that's honestly how shorts work.
Yeah.
And they find new audience all the time. So that's small gains and encouraging. And how many people have, like, hit the little payout? I mean, at this level, it's not that much, but it can become a decent chunk of money if we keep growing.
Yeah. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different people have hit that mark.
Nice.
Yeah.
The main channel, the original shorts, are going crazy right now. And the main TikTok and Instagram. TikTok's going crazy right now. I made a batch of original shorts Monday. Today's Wednesday. And two of them, the Trevino one has 1.9 million on TikTok. The Georgia pitcher cheating has 1.8. Oh, the one where the home run landed in the kayak only has 353 on TikTok. I did not fuck up, 777. Well, that's crazy. These numbers are good. Makes sense because the algorithm's picking up because baseball season. And then on Instagram, the Trevino has 500K. Wow, the pitcher has 640. Okay, so yeah, they're doing good. I thought the kayak one would do better. I think it did better on TikTok. And then I hope they do good on shorts, which is a delayed version of TikTok. But what we found is that filming videos where it's two people, one is the host, the other is answering, is better format on shorts. And I think that's because you have the host giving hints, so the viewer at home gets to play along as well. When it's the video where, like, the host is behind the camera and the two people, like, we've done, like, name blah, and then the two people, me and Joe's did it with the Red Sox, name players that play for Red Sox, Yankees, and we just go back and forth. There's not much time for the viewer at home to play along,
right?
Because it's the two people talking are constantly answering, but when one is the host, he's giving hints. That's my diagnosis of it.
No, I agree. I think that people, like, when I watch those videos, I come up with an answer right away and I wait until the person gets my answer and then I'll think of a new one. So people are watching for that. Then you also get them, like the short that I did where it's naming the oldest teams. That one ended up working really well because Jolly makes a joke to end it. So if people are thinking Braves are the oldest team, they're waiting for Jolly to say that. Eventually Jake gives him the hint and says, you got to be a little bit more brave. And Jolly goes, the White Sox. And Jolly afterwards said, I know that I understood the scenario. I'm not like an idiot, but I did that on purpose. And that's like the most viewed trivia short we've done. So like Jolly's playing into like a joke and having a bunch of people comment, how are you not getting that? It's Braves.
And I for the people listening to this audience, for this episode, which I opened up, like, we understand who you are and the value. These aren't really like for you. Like, so a guy almost comments and is like, I don't like shorts. I like the full episodes. Like, we're not doing this in exchange for full content. but this is how you go advertise yourself. Like, did you see the Lance Lynn short numbers?
No.
So the Lance Lynn short where he gets bunted on and he's upset about it and he says, like, fucking bitch or whatever, that has 4 million views on YouTube. And when you get to the 1 million threshold is when it starts getting really fun. Wait, why are all the... I'm logged into the wrong YouTube, so I can't get the numbers. But this is really cool. And I guess for people that are like, why are you doing this? Why do you understand? Like, this doesn't sound what I want. I'll just let you know the value in it, which we've talked about before. Lance Lynn does not like being bunted on. 4.2 million views, right, on this video. And the main channel gained 4,700 new subscribers. And if you look at audience and see how many people viewed that had never viewed the channel before, it's 548,000 YouTube accounts that have never viewed a video on the John Boy Media channel before, viewed it. That's where, like, the huge wins are when you can get to that area.
Agree.
So you need to kind of get to the threshold of above 500K to really see the returns on subscribers, I think, where it's like, oh, that's a big chunk. Same goes for Instagram right now. Like, when Ryan puts an old breakdown clip out on my personal Instagram, if it gets to the 1 million views, that's like 3,000 new followers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's been working really well as well.
All right.
Yeah.
How about that? I'm going to jump down a little bit in our prep because his name or their name is Dills41. They asked, I'm going to bring this question up.
Dills41.
This is not the sound of a stream running through the mountains. It's water from a leaking pipe trickling down a stairway. That's not a frog splashing into a lake. It's a piece of sheetrock falling into a puddle on a kitchen floor. And that's not a hiker taking a deep breath of mountain air. It's a homeowner gasping at the sight of a $12,000 water damage repair bill. 40% of homeowners have experienced water damage. Protect your home with the Moen Smart Water Monitor and Shutoff. Moen.
Dills41, they kind of asked a related question. To summarize their question, they kind of asked, what is more helpful, being subscribed to a channel or not being subscribed and just always searching for the specific video? And I don't think that YouTube is...
Well, you can do both.
Two accounts?
No, I mean, you could subscribe to a channel and search it.
Oh, yeah, true.
I do that a lot.
Yeah. Sure. Both is probably the best.
Yeah, like, but if I subscribe to Warehouse, but if I know I want to get to that channel, I'll just go to YouTube and type in Warehouse.
Right. I do think that searching it brings more levity to YouTube than just having it come up on your homepage, maybe. Because people like YouTube then sees, oh, they really want this.
If you search something in YouTube, it's on your algorithm for the next 2 weeks. So be weary. It's why Mr. Beast doesn't post links from Twitter, because he doesn't want people getting to his video from an outside link. He wants them to open up YouTube and search Mr. Beast and find the newest video. And he's right. It's so much different. Like, what was Haley Van Lith? Is that her name? I wanted to see, I remembered this interview she did that I thought was funny. And I was watching, she was playing in one of the basketball games. And I was like, oh yeah, remember that interview? And then I went to YouTube and I searched it. For the next week, my YouTube was Haley Van Lith press conferences. Because I search Haley Van Lith press conference. So be wary of that. But yeah, if you wanted to help throw us in your algorithm, you just go there and search Warehouse Games, Talking Yanks. But subscribing helps more.
Yes. And it also doesn't even just help on YouTube. For our sales team and everything, like, the subscriber number helps.
Yes. And Talking Yanks needs to get to 100K.
Yep. By December 31st.
And we know people won't subscribe because people aren't Yankees fans.
Or the channel's done for.
No, it's just really weird.
No, that was a joke.
Starting to irk me.
It's irking you, huh?
But I understand that, like, we have a lot of people that listen that aren't Yankees fans, and they're probably not going to click subscribe. Or people come in from another team to watch the recap and they're not going to click subscribe. So we have to do like shorts and other methods to get people in there. But yeah, I mean, it's weird that it's a top two podcast, but you wouldn't visibly tell, and advertisers aren't visibly going to be able to tell because they look at the subscriber number. But if you looked at like the monthly views and shit, the main channel had a crazy unique viewers month. Did you see those numbers?
No. That's cool.
Yeah. It was really nuts. It was like 11 million unique viewers last month.
Cool.
That's pretty cool.
Before we go any further,
Talking Yanks, 586,000 unique viewers in the last 28 days. No one subscribes. 304,000 returning viewers in the last 28 days. But we can't get people to click subscribe on that channel for the fucking life of us.
It's nuts.
That's nuts. And then the advertiser's like, only 70,000 subscribers. Because in their head, that's really low. And we're like, yeah, but. And then you lose them when you say, yeah, but.
They're lost.
304 returning viewers. So, man, it's a bummer.
Well, if your dog is a returning viewer of Talking Yanks, you got to get them the Farmer's Dog. Every day, more people and more vets are quitting the kibble, kicking the cans, and feeding their dogs dog food that's actually food. Isn't that right, Jimmy?
I use Farmer's Dog. These numbers are making me sad. Last 90 days, 450,000 returning viewers on Talking Yanks. Damn it, man. Farmer's Dog's awesome. They send you the box. You get the food. It's frozen. You put it in your fridge or your freezer, and then you just, like, it's portioned, so all you got to do is rip the one side or scrape it and just squeeze it out like a giant thing, and your dog loves it. It's healthy, and it doesn't, like, stink up anything. It's because it's in the fridge, and then they eat it. It's awesome. They ship it right to you. They'll portion it for your dog. They'll make it unique for your dog's nutritional needs. So if you want to treat your dog nicely, Farmer's Dog is going to help you out for sure. You can get 50% off your first box when you go to farmersdog.com/morningmeeting. G's on both of them. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to farmersdog.com/morningmeeting. To get 50% off. Not hell the morning yeah. meeting. Morning nope. meeting.
With the G's.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk to the people about that Colin and Samir video that came out in the past week?
A little bit. We can link it, I guess. What was it called? Like
down below.
When you ask.
When YouTubers ask for money.
Yeah. I didn't even listen to the first half of it. I skipped to 10 minutes in because Courtney said skip the 10 minutes in. And then they really, like, hit the nail on the head of what the difficulties are of running a company right now in this space, in this industry. Not to, like, alarm anyone. We're in a good spot. But we're in a big spot where Courtney, our CEO, myself, Jake, and then now the leaders yesterday are constantly kind of figuring out, like, we can't continue to exist like this. We need to make some changes. And they really hit the nail on the head in that video is about just like companies that started in the boom of 2020 through 2021, where there was just so much money coming to the space, advertisers were coming to the space, and were built off this direct ad revenue model. And that was like 80% of your 80% of your revenue. Even with programmatic, what you get from Facebook, YouTube, all that, like that was always a big chunk for us. And it still helps for sure. But like Facebook isn't paying out at all anymore. Like in 2021, we got over $1 million from Facebook programmatic. And I think we get like nothing now.
Yeah, zero.
Zero. So that's just like, oh shit, where do we make up for that? Because on the programmatic side, they're pushing everything to short form. but they don't monetize short form. So I don't really understand their big plans over there, because at some point they're going to have to monetize it. But I don't think you can monetize short form because it's not a sticky audience. It's a come and go audience, unless you're like a solo unique creator that can take that audience and really capture it and you're small. But it's the marketing tool. That's why we talked about it. I don't have the initiative. Shorts initiative program. But it's just kind of like they hit the nail on the head of just like building it, going from creator to CEO. The company is like a family, and now you have to make tough decisions, and now you got to really look at the P&L sheets for all the properties and the operating. And it was so, if anyone doesn't know Colin Samir, or like you're interested in the behind the scenes space, which I guess you kind of are if you listen to this, I would go listen to that from 10 minutes on. And like, yeah, it was interesting, because it was like Courtney and I's like text exchange about like, hey, what's coming up? What are we facing? What do we have to prep for? What are we doing? And then they said it, and we're like, that they just said it better than we were saying it to each other, and we're living it. And then it was good in Leaders. Courtney shared that. So just everyone is kind of like, hey, this is true. Which is what we're trying to figure out. They open up with the subscription model. Who did it? Game Changer?
Watcher. I don't know who they were before the video.
But. And they moved off YouTube, and everything's behind a paywall now?
They made a YouTube video saying, we're going to do that. Their audience said, screw you. And then they made a new video saying, okay, that's not the case then. We are listening to you.
Oh.
So yes. They were going to take everything and put it behind a paywall. Now they're not going to do that. But,
well, it's not. It's so for us, we definitely feel the need. We never had a website. We always wanted a website and a platform where we can host videos on our own in case something doesn't live here or something doesn't live there. The programmatic's there. We want 100% control over that. So that's why we're building a website that can host videos. But we've been pretty adamant that like we can't take anything that we've been giving and put it behind a paywall.
No.
We are going to build a like subscription model. There's going to be tons of perks on events, early access, discounts, and community building stuff. But then we have content that right now we don't have space for, or like it's just sitting on the floor because one, we can't post it due to copyright reasons. We can't post it because there's no home for it. Like Warehouse Games has stuff that we can't post because we're scheduled out. Like the whole year is booked up if we film anything extra, or we film the training sessions, all that. And I've talked about when we do our broadcast test, just live giving the live feed link to like this community that would be interested in watching it, and also going to help us like, hey, that internet went down. Like when we test shit, like be in the know there. So it's not going to be like exclusive content made just for you, but it's there's a ton of other perks, and then you will have kind of like our graveyard content. And I think if it goes well, and like, you know, Joe's and I did Seventh Heaven, we couldn't post it because of copyright. If our community is like, that was awesome, and we have time,
sure,
but no promises. But so that side of their conversation, I was like, yeah, we know not to do that.
Yeah,
but we also know that you need to have your own hosting site, so we're doing that. But yeah, I would go listen to that. It's really short. It's like 20 minutes.
Yep.
The one part I liked was talking about building up production costs and stuff, and how taking cost aside, you can do cost effective shows, less production, and it actually helps you connect better with the audience. I think that Jimmy's Three Things is a good example of that. That show is me sitting at my laptop, filming my face, filming my screen, and talking directly to the audience. So there's much more of a connection there, because it's like we're doing it together as a group. And I wanted to make a really cheap production when I did that. So there's no producer involved. There's no like producer salary going to it. There's no editor salary going to it. It's such a simple edit. I clap sync, start the beginning, end at the end. I put it together on Premiere myself, and I send it to you guys and you guys publish it. So that's where I get help. But so like some of our smaller shows, I think it's in the future when we really get our heads around this, it's going to be like, hey, that show, you just got to do it. And then you have your bigger production stuff like the Warehouse Games, because you do need like leaders. That's where a lot of our salaried editors and content creators go, to like those bigger productions. But we definitely need to change the mix of what resources are going to what. Because we've just, you know, every show has like an editor or producer now. Yeah. And we can't have that many shows that aren't profitable. Or we need to put like a tight window on it. Hey, like, we'll give you an editor and a producer for this show, but if you don't get to this in 12 months, you can continue, but we can't continue to fund resources into it because it needs to be a winner. So we'll just have to have more thinking throughout all that.
Yeah. No, I think that's smart. Just, just concentrating on crazy Slack. Concentrating on ensuring that we're good in all those different spots. That sentence was nothing. I want to hop over to the questions of the week before we head out of this room. Seth Gill, who is a frequent commenter, so thank you, Seth. Everybody else, feel free to leave any behind-the-scenes questions you have in the comments.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hence below, Seth asked, how do you view Twitter from a content standpoint? Recently, bigger creators have been putting long-form videos there, and I was wondering if your mindset is to build audience and community there that you can convert, or is just another platform to put out your content?
Shaking my head at the same thing you just referenced. In long-form videos, I mean, I wish I still liked Twitter. Twitter doesn't pay out. So if we want to put Bandwagon Blue Shirts full video on Twitter just because it's funny and we don't really have a home for that. I still put the full videos of breakdowns on Twitter because it's just like, you know, it's more marketing. People will share it and retweet it, so you get it in front of people more. But Twitter, there's no money to be made right now. So, and it fucking sucks as like a place. Like if it was a playground, used to be my favorite playground. Mm. Now it stinks.
Bullies.
They're not even bullies. It's like now it's like 3-year-olds running around like kicking your shins thinking they're knocking you over. Mm-hmm. It's like they run up and they kick your shin and they go, oh, we just fucking got you. And you're like, what? I'm still walking at the same exact pace.
Right.
I'm just going to go to that slide and enjoy it. And then 3 more 3-year-olds come up and they start kicking your shins too. And they're like, oh my God, ratio, dude, you fucking got owned. You're going down. It's like, I haven't slowed my stride once. I'm heading to that slide because this is the playground I enjoy. And then 5 more come up and they start like pulling out your leg hairs. And they're like, you're fucking done, dude. You're done. You're not even going to get to that slide. And then you're like, I'm here now.
Right.
And I'm just going to go down this slide and enjoy this playground with all my friends that are here. And they're like, we fucking owned you. That's what Twitter is right now. and it's sad, and it's nothing matters. Like, if you were to go home and you'd be like, I got owned. What did they do? All these three-year-olds decided they were going to kick my shins. Did it hurt you? No. And that affected you. That's on you. That's my biggest message to the whole company right now. It's like, none of that matters at all.
Right.
It's annoying. Obviously, I'm annoyed by it. I'm annoyed that they think they're doing something. But it's like,
end of day.
And I'm annoyed because Twitter used to be my favorite platform and it was a lot of fun. I used to go down the slide a lot. Now I'm like, I don't know, man. That slide's fun, but it's really not worth walking there because these little kids think they own the place now.
The only other thing I would say about Twitter is that I think a lot of people are seeing Mr. Beast make a ton of money. That is like the one exception. He also, the caveat there is that before he posted, he said, I'm posting a video on Twitter just to see how much money it makes. And so every advertiser was directed to that one video. So that is not the use case to like live by for everybody else. All right. The next question is actually the Factor Insight of the Week. Use code MOREJOHNBOY50 for your Factor meals. This comes from Josiah. He said, what is the reason for the JM Gaming channel? It feels like the rest of the channel are market leaders. We have a number of channels that are not, but, or you're doing something unique. Got it. The gaming channel is a lower barrier of entry and there's hundreds of other channels doing it. So what is the reason?
The gaming channel is something we're invested in bringing Shelfie on, having Joe's here, because it's a lane that has a big audience, and it's an audience that traditionally is like long live stream viewers and all that, which isn't really our lane, but it opens up an avenue to get into a new audience with gaming and retro gaming. And Shelfie has done this successfully where he streams, but he also drops videos regularly. That's like what his successful formula has been, which is what we're better at. And it's a place to have all of our other creators join and make kind of hero content. Mm-hmm. And we've seen hero content, meaning like a bunch of superheroes all in the same movie. That's a term that I heard recently. Now I use like I know it, but I didn't know it 2 weeks ago. But that's what they call the big group content, like the warehouse games. Hero content is like everyone in the same universe, I guess. I guess that's why they call it that. But that's what we can do, those tournaments and have fun, and you can record a bunch. And there is an audience to be had there and to grow into. It's just... it's like anything else. It's finding the niche. It's the same as football content as well. They're so saturated. There's so many people there. So you got to find your lane. How do you break into it? And Shelfie and Joe's have been like grinding. Like, they have so much in the bank right now. They want to do big tournaments with everyone, do different games and stuff. And we recently sat down a month ago and like really like narrowed the journey and path into it that we think will work. And then we'll keep checking in. But, the rest of the channels are market leaders, talking Yanks, talking baseball. Yeah, but they weren't when they started. I mean, we were for Talking Yanks was the third most popular Yankees podcast for the first 3 years of its existence. Maybe by year three, we got to the number two most popular Yankees podcast. And then it took like 4 or 5 years to get to the biggest. If you search on podcast app, we would come up number one. Talking baseball, same thing. There's tons of baseball shows. We just kept going and got bigger. So nothing is instantly a market leader. If that was the thought, there wouldn't be, you wouldn't really start. You have to start as not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that you answered that question well. It's, the only other thing that you left out is that it really is a nice lane if we have guests that come in that are interested in that type of content. It is a spot that a lot of the guests that we bring in tend to be a little shy up front, but if we can break them out of their shell a little bit, we can do that with trivia, we can do that with talking to the personalities in our office, or gaming has been a spot that we can also use to have people open up a little bit.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. Whatever.
Well, I think that you were going to talk about Brett's question. Brett Hafner asked, are there any new quirks or rules from the new Ball and Play training video that are into Ball and Play 2? So anything new from Ball and Play 1 to 2?
Well, Ball and Play Captain's League is when we debuted the new rules, where the back wall is worth 4 and...
off speed.
And you can throw breaking pitches and stuff like that. We took away the like defensive alignments, like needing defensive align, like the power play and stuff. So you can use your defense any way you want in all three overs of the inning. We did allow some bats that we melted to have a flat side.
Yeah.
So there was a little more bat control and less pop ups.
Yeah, not as much as that video.
The video that came out with the flat bat. No, that bat you would hit automatic 6 if you wanted to every time.
Yeah.
No, those two videos that came out recently, one was test cricket, so unlimited outs and unlimited overs.
One might not have come out.
Oh, and the other one was the flat bat. Right. And the first one I wanted to play a version of test cricket. I still think it would be really fun. I don't know if we have the buy-in from all the players. Maybe after like watching it, they all got out so quick. And I think if we did that again, we'd have to allow the pitcher to throw harder. So, blocking the hole really is the main, that's what test cricket is. Blocking the stumps really is the main priority.
Yeah.
Not like, and then you like, if you can hit it, you hit it. But though that was a thought, but at the ending of that was awesome. I forgot that it like came down to that. Mm. It was really cool. And the people that did watch that did enjoy it. So there's something there. I wanted to do like a series of like, make it 2 teams of 7. Remember that? Call them like, and do like a 3 series. It's just 3, different, games that we just put in the middle. That'd be cool. And then the second one, the flat bat, no hitting in the air allowed video. None of that's like, some people in the comments, I even said at the start of the intro, but people in the comments were still like, I don't like these rules. And I was like, yeah, like these rules would never actually happen. We needed to teach the players how to run between the wickets better. And if they hit it in the air and get out right away, it doesn't last. And like practice bat control. And then we needed it was mostly the camera crew. The first test, it was like, hey, did we get any shots? And they're like, well, we didn't get a lot of shots of balls being put in play and like stops being made or the balls going backwards. So it was mostly for the camera crew to test all these new motions. So we like forced rules to happen. So it was just very much a broadcast test. I don't think there's many new rules for, if you watch the Captain's League, it's very similar to that. Right?
Very, yes. We have another warehouse question from Luke. Before we get there, though, Ball and Play 2 on topic is presented by DraftKings and kicks off on May 5th.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm excited for this one. We got a bunch. Whoa, lights went off on us. We got a bunch of all 8 teams from the Warehouse Cup are there. So Norp's in the warehouse, Drew's in the warehouse, K-Mac, Colin, Nikki. Moylan is playing for his first time. And a bunch of professional cricket players that play for Major League Cricket. Use code warehouse at DraftKings right now. You can bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Code warehouse only at DraftKings. The crown is Jake's. They sponsored Ball and Play 2.
Yes, they did. Jumping back a little bit to Captain's League, Luke on Twitter asked, how was the player pool for Captain's League decided? Did everyone volunteer?
No, we chose it. It was if you had played in the warehouse before in a like cup, you were got to the top of the list.
Yeah.
And then Nikki was supposed to be a captain. He couldn't do it, which bumped Jolly to a captain. We needed a new pool player then.
Yep.
And we asked Ryan Cohen, who didn't work for the company at the time, if he was free and wanted to. He said yes, so he joined. And then Canobio left, and Shelfie replaced him.
Yep.
Is there any other?
Canobio wasn't in the first tournament, and Jack Sorensen filled in.
Yeah, but is there any Captain's League pool player that hadn't already appeared?
I don't believe so. Yeah.
Like Diversa had played for the Woogas and the
JM Office.
JM Office. Luke has obviously been in the warehouse. BBD played in floorball.
Rob. Yep.
Sirocco played in ball and play.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's how we did it.
Yep. Thank you, Luke, for leaving that question. We have one more question, and then Landon's goof and gaff is back to end the episode. But before that, Merrick, he or she asked, could we ever see any more day in the life videos? I really loved Jimmy's, and I would love to see other members of John Boy Media like Jake and Joe's.
They'd have to do it. I think I have 2 days where I filmed day in the life, and then I got too tired at the end of the day to edit it, and I couldn't put on anyone else's plate, so it just never went out. I plan on filming today my entire process of making a breakdown, because it might be like 5 hours straight, and I'm just going to roll a screen recorder and like a camera on my face and maybe talk, maybe not, and we'll see if it gets posted or not.
Maybe.
This is stuff that we'd throw on the website, the subscriber stuff, because it doesn't get posted anywhere else.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do this a lot where like I'll spend like half baked ideas. Like, hey, started this, didn't finish it. Cause I've done that before too. I've filmed myself making a breakdown, talking through why I'm editing it. And then I get to the end and I'm like, I don't have the time to finish this.
Yep.
So it's not a real video. But I like filming those. I usually do them more in the off season. June has some crazy days for me where I think we'll film some.
Yeah.
The first 2 weeks of June are going to be insane.
Insane. What else is insane? Landon's goof and gaff. Landon said he's been busy, but he's back. And the goof and gaff is back as well. Rank the numbers 1 to 10 from worst to best. All you.
Easy for me. Easy for me because I don't like odd numbers that much. So right away, I'm going to go 7 is the worst. Then 9. Then 3. Then I'll go 10. It's too high. Double digits. My favorite number is going to be 2. And then we're going to go 4. And then we're going to go 8. And then we're going to go 6. And then we're going to go 5. So 7, 9, 3, 10, 5, 1, 6, 8, 4, 2 in reverse order. That's worst to best.
Episode's over.
You're an odds guy, probably. All soccer fans like the number 3 and 7 and 9, in my opinion.
7 I could see some people liking, but doesn't do anything for me.
Well, so you're a 9 guy?
No.
3?
10. Messi better than Ronaldo. 10 to 7.
10 doesn't deserve to be in that category. It's a double-digit number.
That's a different... If you want to rank 1 to 9, sure, but I'm ranked 10.
Sure, then I would just take 10 out, and it would go 7, 9, 3, 5, 1, 6, 8, 4, 2.
Yeah, out of those, the number I like the best is 2.
Nice.
It's all sports driven. That's the answer for all of those. Messi, Ronaldo.
Brian song? You like it because of Brian song?
Yeah.
Number 1, God. Number 2, family. Number 3,
football.
Is it football? Is it me?
That was a joke. I don't know.
It's either football or me. That's why my dad was number 2 growing up because he says because of that, because 2 was family.
Sure.
I don't think God was number 1 for my dad, but I don't speak for him. But goodbye.
Ball and Play 2 presented by DraftKings is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.